The Conflict Behind All Conflicts. Commentary for the October 25th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Revelation 12, verses 3 through 4 and 7 through 9. Decades ago, as a young theology student, I was surprised when a professor of Old Testament stated that he felt the gods that were worshipped by pagans existed. In our modern world, where those who believe in God are scorned as mentally deficient to do so, how much more incredible is it to believe in pantheons of the old gods who were revered before Christianity took the world by storm? Were Zeus, Odin, and all the rest real? If so, who were they, and where did they come from, and does any of that still matter? Our world is filled with conflict. The never-ending wars between East and West, Palestinians and Jews, and racial and ethnic violence seem unresolvable. Where did all this conflict originate? Who hit whom first? Is it all just a continuously revolving cycle of revenge? Is there an exit from this mad rushing train to nowhere, hurtling ahead until the track finally runs out? The book of Joshua abounds with warfare, as was the story of the Exodus from Egypt and the wandering in the wilderness. But it did not start there. It began in heaven, of all places. We think of heaven as idyllic, a place of peace and joy. But the Bible tells us that someone close to God, a beautiful and charismatic covering cherub, aspired to usurp God's rule, according to Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15. Astonishingly, the creature sought to replace the Creator. This idea is redolent in modern science fiction, where a common plot has artificial intelligence, AI-infused robots, make common cause to overthrow the humans that created them. With the growth of AI on the internet, some fear that such a scenario could become reality. This idea of creature overthrowing creator goes back to before the creation, or our world, and humanity. The war that arose from that rebellion came to an uneasy truce when that covering cherub, Satan, also called the devil, was cast out of heaven with 1/3 of the angels who chose to follow him. We might wonder how he could have convinced so many of the angels to follow him. However, lies were unknown before Satan invented them. Jesus said as much, calling the devil the father of lies in John 8:44. When we believe and support charismatic leaders who constantly lie to us today, it should be no mystery how someone like a covering cherub could raise a following among those who had never had to deal with lies. We have that experience, yet we still succumb and argue strongly to defend those lies as truth. Some of us would be as ready to man the battlements with Satan right alongside those fallen angels, even believing we were serving God to do so. When we consider the power of the lie and the special and charismatic attributes of all those fallen angels, it is not hard to see how they could have become those pagan gods of yore, ruling over a credulous humanity. The very first book of the Bible hints at such things. It tells us, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. Genesis 6, verse 4. While there have been attempts to explain away the implications of this passage, it coincides exactly with the pagan narrative of lusty gods raping human women and producing the demigods of old. Records of demigods are found in several pagan cultures. The Greeks had Hercules, Theseus, Perseus, and others. Even the woman renowned for her beauty, Helen of Troy, was a demigoddess. The Hindus had Karna, Abhimanyu, and others. The Mayans had Hunapu and his brother Zubalanke. The Norse had Helgi, Skolder, Frogger, and Itrexiod, all offspring of Odin and mortal women. With such widespread tales of fecund gods spread across so many different mythologies, it seems to be a strong argument for taking the passage in Genesis exactly as it states, except for translating with a small g instead of a capital, for these were fallen angels, not emissaries or true sons of God in any sense. If anyone is tempted to think these were servants of God in this passage, then the next verse argues against that. For instead of righteousness and grace abounding because of all these couplings, we find the opposite. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Genesis 6, verse 5. Deceived by lies, enamored by the beauty and charisma of the fallen beings, and emboldened by their flagrant disrespect of their Creator, humanity followed them in their perversity, until the earth was filled with evil. What was created to be an Edenic paradise for humanity had become hell on earth. Some might think that the gods of paganism do not exist anymore. But a look at the world today finds it is still steeped in cruelty and evil, constantly alluring others to join in where the fun is and rewarding those who do, even though the end for them is death. Those who would look for those old gods on Olympus or in Valhalla, or any of what the Bible calls the high places, would do better to look for them sitting on mountains of wealth, lording their power over common humanity, who are enthralled and powerless to stop them, because those gods created the system that keeps them in power. And none of those levers of power are allowed to fall into the hands of those who would dethrone them. Have you ever wondered why, even when one of these appears to be overthrown, another of their ilk seems to rise to the top to take their place? Revelation tells us that the ultimate end of evil is tied up with the destruction of the earth, leaving the planet in the same state as before the creation account of Genesis chapter 1. Without form and void. But God will create a new earth to replace what has been destroyed, according to Revelation 21, verse 1. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God that is not of this earth. This earth is a sinking ship, bound to get to that state where every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart is only evil all the time. Nonetheless, Jesus came to provide opportunity for those who would eschew evil to be a part of his kingdom. Those who would accept that invitation would face untold hardships. Evil would become so prevalent that everyone would be tempted to grow cold and stony-hearted to one another. But those who continued to love to the end would be delivered, according to Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Things would become so bad that if Jesus did not return, none would be saved, according to Matthew 24, verse 22. And even so, faith will be hard to find on the earth, according to Luke 18, verses 7 through 8. Jesus promised to return and take the faithful home with him. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." John 14, verses 1 through 3. And at his ascension, the angels who attended him shared the same promise. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Acts 1, verse 11. This begs the question, what will happen to all those gods and demigods who led so many into rebellion against their Creator? After God calls those who will to worship him as Creator, according to Revelation 14, verse 7, the rebellion will collapse. The kingdom of fallen angels and their followers is called Babylon, meaning confusion. Why confusion? Because the entire kingdom of these gods and their followers is built upon lie after lie. When each of the endless layers of lies is stripped away, in the end, the core they covered is hollow, empty of any value to those who pledge their lives to its service. In despair, they try to hide themselves from the truth when it can no longer be gainsaid. Jesus is that truth. John 14, verse 6. The lie and its perpetrators will die, never rising again, according to Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15a. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more podcasts and commentaries, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to other articles and to books written by the author available from Amazon. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.